No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share 4 decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, on this episode, I want to address a listener question. We haven't done that in a little bit. For any of you listening right now who don't know, we have a phone number you can text us on through the app community. You don't need to download the app, but you can text us anytime at area code 213-444-5381 and ask us leadership questions. And we get them come in periodically on Instagram and LinkedIn, but sometimes they go through community. And we got a listener question through community a couple days ago. This particular listener wrote us saying that she was a newly promoted store manager with a team of people that range between 18 and 24 years old. And she finds herself in a situation where she has 2 assistant managers reporting to her that lead very differently. And the staff is tending to kind of gravitate into 1 of 2 corners based on the leadership styles of these 2 leaders. And, you know, I've been in situations before where I've been on teams of assistant managers and leaders where we all have different leadership styles. And, you know, it's a good thing in some situations to be able to have that, because, you know, different employees gravitate towards one type of leadership style versus another. But it can cause problems if there isn't kind of like a basic level of expectation. And so, you know, you read this message from this listener. I want to know what your thoughts are on what this person should do.
Yeah, well, I think it is one of those situations where just in leadership in general, remembering that you're, you know, this is the people business, and that you're talking and you're leading people that have different opinions, they have different perspectives, they have different approaches to the work and that type of thing. And, you know, specifically when you're talking about leaders, I've said this before on the show, and I say it quite often, of like, you know, a larger team looks at a leadership team and they really kind of judge the team on the delta of how leaders lead differently. So, you know, a team member may say like, oh, the managers or the leadership team doesn't do this, or they do this too much. And then you start to dig a little bit and you find out it's actually 1 or 2 people, maybe a larger collective team, or maybe it's 1 leader and not the other, because, you know, the team understands and aligns themselves with different styles of leadership. So when I think about this question, and as I kind of read through all of the details of the situation, I think there's 2 things that you know, we're looking to solve today or talk through on the show. Number one, as a new leader, how are you establishing yourself as a newly promoted leader and bringing your leaders along? And then number 2, what are you doing to kind of figure out, look through, validate, understand how your leaders are showing up for your people? And this is kind of the 2 spaces where, if you're looking to move a team together and move leaders together with the same people, this is the work that you have to do as a newly promoted leader.
Right. I agree with that. I think back to a time when I would come to my store as an employee, and the first thing I would do is I'd look to see who the closing manager was, because if it was the sales manager, I knew that I was not going to be offered to go home early, because we'd want to make sure we always had all the staff there, so that if customers ever did come in, even if it was slow, that we had plenty of staff in order to help those customers. And then I'd be doing a lot of cleaning and stuff if there was no customers to help. And if the operations manager was closing, then the moment it got slow, people would start getting sent home. And typically, this is the reason why for this is because the operations manager's bonus quarterly and annually was based on coming in under the labor budget. And the sales manager's bonus quarterly and annually was coming in above the revenue budget. And so you had these competing agendas from 2 different people. And that impacted the way the business is run. It shouldn't. It shouldn't impact the way the business is run. But, you know, to address the problem of this person who wrote into us, the first thing that is your responsibility to do as the store manager is to get really clear on what the expectations are for what the scorecards that matter in your organization. And if you're in a situation where you're unfortunate and the organization has set up a structure in a way that bonuses your 2 different assistant managers differently, then you have an uphill battle when it comes to this. Hopefully that's not the case. And if they do not do that, then really there should be alignment on what the goals are in terms of what the scorecard needs to say and how to get there. If that's the case, then now what you have is just two different people who are gravitating more towards a style that is conducive with something that comes naturally to them already. And if you have, you know, one leader who is, you know, kind of better at the accountability piece, but maybe a little bit harder to make connections personally with people, you have another leader who finds it very easy to make connections with people, have that emotional connection, but finds it a little bit more difficult to hold people accountable, then both of those styles are needed. Both of those ways of leading people are needed. You can't replace one with the other and have two of the same person, or half the team will just, you know, kind of up and walk out. They won't find anybody to gravitate towards. But just because you find yourself being better at one of those things over the other, it doesn't mean you get off the hook of doing the other. The other is still needed. You can't create no connections with your people and lead like a drill sergeant. You also can't just trust that if your people like you, they're going to perform for you. Sometimes that works out, but sometimes it doesn't, and you still have to hold them accountable when it doesn't. So I think it starts with the clarity. Let's figure out what the goals are so that we're all on the same page as far as what those goals are. And then I think that she needs to allow her assistant managers to kind of lead with the things that are naturally good, while also making sure they understand that there is a basic kind of modicum of expectation when it comes to the thing that they might not be as good at, but it's still needed.
Yeah, well, I think what you talk about, and a lot of times you see this with teams where you have the hammer and the helper.
Yes.
Where it's like there's one person who's like the known person who's going to, you know, make sure people are doing their job, set expectations, hold them accountable, challenge people on attendance, dress code, stuff like that. And then you've got the helper, which is just the kind of like, hey, I'm here for you if you need anything, and I care about you, and I want you to do well here. And to your point, you know, what you want to have is a more of a balance. It's okay to have a 60-40 balance. It's okay for one leader to maybe be, you know, more of the accountability style and kind of how they approach the work, but they also have a high percentage of empathy and the ability to connect with people. And then another leader that maybe is more empathetic or connector, but is also capable of having accountability conversations. Where it becomes dangerous in a workplace is when two leaders or more of them are way far on one spectrum of the other. And that's really what the work of the store leader or the general manager is to actually sit down and have those types of conversations. So I agree with you that like the clarity piece is really important. Like are we on the same page with how we're measuring success, right? I think even before that, and as a new leader, you may have to step back and reassess the vision, especially if you're, you know, replacing somebody else. If for whatever reason that other leader has gone, whether it was success and promotion or maybe they don't work for the company, maybe they left the company, who knows? But like they left, and they left with how their vision was of how the team ran and what their expectations were. And I think the first thing you may want to look at is stepping back to see like, well, what do we all believe leadership is supposed to be here? How do I define leadership? How do my leaders define leadership? Let's have that conversation first, and then let's talk about my expectations now as the new leader of this team on how I want us to show up for our team. And let's be clear, to your point, with the clarity piece around how do we measure success, both with a business and with a scorecard and with the metrics, but also with how we want our people to feel every day and how we want them to show up at work, and how, like, these are all things that even if you've been with the team, if you're an internal promote or if you're, you know, externally came onto the team, these are things that you really want to spend time in initially to make sure that there is a clear vision on what you're looking to accomplish. And you can walk and chew gum at the same time, right? Like you have an ongoing business that's going to continue to need to perform. The expectation from the organization, from a next level manager, there are things that have to happen as you are working with your team. But I think you really have to start there first, because what it sounds like maybe in this question is that there may be some different visions here. There may be some different definitions of either what leadership is or how we're supposed to show up or what the old leader expected us to do. And you kind of have to reset in this space before you can really start to dig in and then have your leader say, like, either, you know what, I can appreciate your vision of how you want us to show up, but like, I'm not willing to do that, or I don't want to do that. And then you have to have different conversations around what are the leaders that are going to stay or what other transitions may have to happen. These are the things that you've got to do as the leader in charge, is really making sure that your leaders are reflecting the values that you want them to reflect and that your people are having the experience that you want them to have.
Right. I think there's something else that this store manager, this newly promoted store manager, can do too. And that's this. You know, just like the assistant managers are naturally better at whatever that style is for them, and they're having a harder time kind of getting better at the other one, the store manager also has a style that she is better at. One of those two things, and I'm not saying she's not good at both. To be a good leader, you have to be good at both the empathy and the accountability, but there is one or the other that she is naturally better at, because that's just how people are. And then there's the other one that has to be kind of more intentional in order to be good at it. It doesn't just come naturally. Her assistant managers see that. They know what style she is. One of them feels very comfortable in the way they are leading because it aligns with the way this store manager is. The other one is a little bit anxious right now because they're wondering, okay, is my job safe? Am I going to start getting held accountable? I feel like I don't necessarily perfectly align with my new store manager's way of leading. And so my typical way to go, if that happens, is to double down on whatever I think is going to get me the positive numbers so that even if she doesn't like me, I can say, look, the scorecard speaks for itself. You can't get rid of me, or, you know, I should still be here. What this store manager should be doing right now is sitting down with both of these people and validating the good that they bring. Sit down with the person who it over-indexes on the thing that you yourself as a store manager aren't as good at and say, hey, I notice how great you are at this aspect of your job. I would love it if you could help me get better at that because I'm trying to get better at that myself. And you know what? This is what I'm good at, and I'd love to help you get better at this thing too. Or put those assistant managers together in a room and say, you know what? I've noticed this really great thing about you and this really great thing about you. I want the two of you to work together to help each other get better on those things, because the way that each of you lead, both of those ways are needed in this business, because clearly you have some fans in the people who work here. You just don't have the same fans. You have very different fans for different reasons. And so if our people are going to perform and be on the same page, they need to be able to look to the two of you and see kind of a united front. So it's one thing if they kind of gravitate towards one of you or the other because one of you kind of aligns with them more. Maybe they're easier to talk to based on who the person is. But they shouldn't see a divide in terms of what the priorities are, what the expectations are, what the accountability is going to be. Those things should all be exactly the same. And then, you know, maybe you find one of you easier to talk to. If you can start making that relationship strong as the store manager between your two assistants, that's going to be absolutely needed prerequisite before you can expect your people to stop going into their corners and dividing further.
No, I think another piece of this too, as well, is establishing what are the new boundaries and what are the new expectations and what are the new lines in the sand. Because there are, you know, in a lot of situations, just what was allowed before or what was, you know, considered acceptable. You know, like if there are things that are happening that are, you know, from an integrity standpoint or from a legal standpoint, of course, you're going to have to address those things right away. But we all know that in the people business and in a lot of businesses, there's quite a bit of gray area. And you may feel one way or another about where that gray area is currently and what's been allowed before and what you need. And so as the new leader there, like you have a short window to really reestablish what are those new boundaries. You have a short window to really establish, like, what are you going to allow and what are you going to not allow? You know, there's a lot of times when you have a leader that's just like, you know, our business is kind of crazy. And right now in this industry, maybe, you know, we're not, we're having a hard time keeping employees or hiring employees. So like, I'm going to be more lax on this thing or that thing, whether it's attendance or this or like, and you may say like, that's a non-negotiable for me. And you know, you have the time to establish that. And again, I, you know, one way or the other, not that I agree or disagree on whatever that thing might be, but you know, if that's a standard for you, it needs to be a standard pretty quickly. And then I also think that if you're having struggles with differing approaches to leadership, like what we've been discussing here, leaders that may be having camps of employees in one side or the other based upon their style, it's going to be imperative of you as the new leader to spend time with the people and to paint the picture of what you need from them and where you want to go, and say the things out loud. Like, it's amazing to me that leaders still are fearful of speaking up and telling a team, like, I don't want there to be, you know, cliques or groups. I don't want there to be conflict between us because of, you know, of differences that we have. I want us to come together. I need us to come together. That's kind of the expectation of a team, is that we will work together. That doesn't mean that you're going to connect with everybody the same. It doesn't mean that you're going to spend, you know, time talking to people at work or outside of work the same. That's okay. Like, there's a value in us being different. There's a value in us having differences of opinions. My expectation is that we're going to have a lot of respect. We're going to treat each other with respect, and that while we're at work and we're doing things together, we're going to do them together as a team. Like, you need to say those things as a new leader. People need to hear that expectation, so that if you have to have conversations in the future about people that are not doing that, that you can refer back to, this has been an expectation from the time I started, and that should be no surprise to you.
Right, right. I completely agree with that. I what you're saying, I hear a Socratic statement that I've heard for a long time, which is that when the top can talk to the bottom, it holds the middle accountable.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to this episode's 1 Minute Hack. But first, a quick shout out to Stacey and Frank from our Patreon. And we always appreciate your messages and your ideas and your context. And it helps to make our show better. And secondly, here's a few words from our sponsors.
The 1 Minute Hack.
All right, this episode's 1 Minute Hack is directly from Lorenzo's book, Vision, Clarity, and Support, and it's directly from that platform. So what I want you to do is get out your pen and paper and write down those words, vision, clarity, and support. Underneath vision, I want you to write down what the company's vision is, the expectations of the company, and then I want you to write down your expectations, your vision for what your store is going to look like or your team is going to look like. Next, underneath clarity, I want you to be clear with your team, write down the things that you are going to do for them and the expectations of what that vision looks like in practice. So if there are specific behaviors, if there are specific scorecards, numbers, whatever the expectation is in practice, so it's not vague, it's very clear on what those expectations are, write that down under clarity, and that's what you're going to tell to your direct reports. And then under support, you're going to make sure that you are giving them whatever support they need to get there. You're going to offer your support if they want to come to you. And most importantly, you're going to make it clear to them that you'll be talking with all of their direct reports to make sure that they feel this, that they're getting the support that they need, so that each layer can talk to each other. Start there, and you'll be surprised how quickly the relationships build on a team when there's that vision, that clarity, and that support. The last thing I want to say, a part of our 1 Minute Hack, is that for the first 10 people who text message us on our community number, we will send you a link to a free digital download of Lorenzo's book, Vision, Clarity, and Support. That phone number I said at the beginning of the episode is also going to be in the podcast description. So first 10 people, you'll get that link.
I think it's a great 1 Minute Hack, and thank you for giving away my book for free. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Anytime. I give it away for free anytime I can.
Absolutely. And like, look, it's we really appreciate these questions. We really appreciate the engagement. Just, we're so grateful for people that say, I've been listening to the show for a while. Thank you so much for the content. It's helped me in my leadership journey and career. And then we get really specific questions and things like this. And it's just, it brings us joy to help other leaders kind of solve and work through these types of situations, because we've all been there. We've been there as leaders. You know, we go through these things on a daily basis as well. You know, in leadership and in the people business, you know, you may have experienced these types of things before, but you will experience them again. And over time, continuing to solidify who you are as a leader and finding the different ways from people in your life and mentors and other leaders to help you navigate these things is so critical to continuing to not just make yourself a better leader, but to role model that and mentor other leaders in your presence. So again, thank you so much for that. And I'm looking forward to the community text thread, and I will be getting out those links as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. And don't just message us for the free book. Like, message us if you have your leadership questions. We don't solicit. We don't put your name on lists or sell it anywhere. It's specifically to make sure that we're reachable to all of you. If you have anything specific that you're looking for help with, we're happy to be there for you.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of this episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you all next time.